Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk. It is Thursday night, January 20th, 2011. And my, what a truly interesting week I have had. This is my third Thursday show where I do tarot card readings and I have people on that are amazing readers and, you know, psychics. And today I haven't scheduled anybody but me. And I'm actually not quite sure how this whole show is going to end up because to be quite honest, I am really in a space where I am... I think the best way for me to share this is to say I feel like I'm unplugging from my mind with the help of friends and family and spiritual like-minded people. I'm finding a confidence in this new space because what's happening is I'm unplugging from my mind and I'm plugging into my heart. I definitely recognize the messages that I'm hearing from all of the channelers that I follow is that the frequency on the planet right now is to be experienced through the heart, not through the mind. Now, I know that I have the capability of experiencing life through my heart, but I also recognize that I've had 45 years of conditioning that have essentially... you know, taking me into my head. And so through my awakening and through my conscious choice, I have asked for help through spiritual awareness, through friends, through even, believe it, through enemies and foes, to really help me experience life through the wisdom of my heart. And there is definitely something going on right now, happening within my being. I can feel it. There are times when I feel like I'm being rewired, but it's not a rewiring process that I'm feeling. I'm really feeling disconnected without feeling reconnected into the heart. And it's interesting because even as I say that, I think it's more about my patterns, my comfort zone in the way I decipher my experiences and my world and my universe through my head, that part of me is unplugged. Energetically, however that works, I feel unplugged from my normal capabilities of deciphering my universe. And what I feel is happening is my heart is plugged in. It's just this is a new system I'm working with, so I'm really not quite sure how to read this new system, how to even comprehend this new system. I know it's through feelings, and I am definitely feeling. Today I had several emotional outbursts of deep, deep sense of gratitude and love. I shared that with some of the people in my mastermind group and some other friends. I'm in a process of becoming, you know, I don't know, a metahuman. I believe Daniel Jacobs coined that phrase, the metahuman, or I think Kryon uses human angel. So I kind of find it interesting that it's third Thursday. I'm supposed to do tarot card readings. Oh, my friend Stephanie is on the other line. maybe Stephanie will want to call me. No, I can't put you guys on hold. She's just going to have to figure out that I'm on my show. Anyways, I'm feeling like today or tonight to do the tarot card readings, I'm not quite sure I know how to interpret life right now for others when I'm really not standing in total confidence that I can interpret my own experiences. That's why I posted on Facebook that tonight would be a different show. I'm more than happy to humbly say, listen, I will do the cards and give a reading as long as it's understood that, you know, I'm in a little bit of a spin. Now, another thing is that I'm also open to, you know, kind of creating tonight on the show is the potential. Oh, see, now here's Stephanie on my, okay, wait a minute. Steph? Hey, want to join me on the show? I'm just talking. I'm just kind of out there doing my thing, and I would love it if you come on and just, I don't know, talk with me. All right? I'm live right now. They're hearing me talk to you. If you want to, you are welcome to come on. All right? Are you online? Or I'll just give you the number. 646-929-2084. And I know your number. I'll just bring you on when I see you. No, 646-929-2084. All right? Awesome, babe. Yeah, bye. All right, well, Stephanie Besson's going to be joining us. See, it's already, the gifts are pouring in. Actually, Polar Bear is on the line with me right now. Polar Bear, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
You know, my friends are truly amazing. They're supportive and, okay, see, I'm getting a total wave of emotion right now. I don't even know where these waves are coming from. They're just, like, rushing through my body. I told you it's going to be a different show tonight. So Polar Bear is here supporting me. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
All right, Stephanie is on the line right now. Let's bring her up. Hey, Steph, how are you?
Good.
Okay, good. Good, 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 because I was sharing with the audience that I'm not really in a space where I feel confident for doing tarot card readings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, I mean, I'm open to doing them if somebody says, listen, do me a read, but I would much rather have tonight, even if it's only an hour-long show or whatever, but I was like, maybe we can just kind of share what's going on. You know, I'm more than happy to share, honestly, that, you know, I'm in a very deep space, but I have never been here before, and I don't know where I am. You know, my faculties and the way I used to do life, so to speak, and used to decipher life at the moment are not functioning. You know, my mind is, and if people are wondering how does that equate, the way it shows up in my life is I haven't seemed to have an inability to make a decision. my emotions, I mean, I am breaking down crying at the wind changing direction. I'm feeling deep senses of gratitude and simultaneously feeling deep senses of fear in that I don't have a direction in which to be focused in. And, you know, I feel like, as Bashar put it, you know, in the center of the paradox, where I'm feeling my greatest joys and my greatest fears literally side by side, simultaneously. And so,
yes.
You know, I can't fake this. I'm on the air. You know, I mean, I had said to Polar Bear, I was like, you know, I can replay a show. I can cancel the show. And both times when I did that, there was a definite knowing in the moment that said, no, why don't you just get on and share really where you're at? Yeah, don't hide it. Just kind of go and do a raw show of, you know, how I really don't know what's going on right now. in your experience, and I know that because we're, you know, where we are connected on many levels. So, you know, I mean, if you're open to, let's share what's going on with you, because, I mean, A, what's going on with you is going on with me, but you're doing beautifully right now. And, you know, that's the hope for all those that are unplugged.
I honor you showing up, because, you know, if like Oprah would come on a bad day.
Well, wow. I mean, thank you for comparing me to her.
Or if she would allow herself to right. I think she would just not allow herself, but you're showing up and saying, let's look at this.
Yeah.
And let's all like be real that this happens.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most beautiful place to be, when you could share when you're in the most ugly place.
Yeah.
So I honor that. And
thank you. Thank you. I can do it because I have friends like you and Polar Bear and Donnie Leader. You know what I mean? It's like, it really just, the one thing I can tell everybody is where I believe what got me into this space, which is why I am trusting as an overall, is my intention to be in my heart. It's like I know that the heart has different language than the brain, but knowing that from the head is different than experiencing that from the heart. So I'm in that flux where I know the language is different, but experiencing it differently now is, so now my experience is that I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you, I mean, Steph, hands down, you're definitely, in my personal opinion, and I mean this, you are a living example of the wisdom of the heart in practice, in life. And I'm not trying to put you in a place that, you know, the guru or anything, but I do believe that you are in a frequency that, from my standpoint, is really where we're all going. And I mean, I can't tell you how comforting it is to have people in your life that are already at least in this wisdom, because when you're coming from the mind, it appears like you're losing all your faculties when you're going through the heart.
Yeah,
because,
and
God,
just today I have to say no to somebody that's really like excited to join what I'm doing, and
okay.
I know in my heart that it's not the right time for them. And for the good of, like, everyone, not just that person. So that's a little tough for me, though, to get used to, where you have to say no to people. And, like, no, that's not in the best interest of any of us. And you have to trust yourself that they need to trust you. Because it looks like you're saying no, and you're wrong, and you're not coming from the heart.
Right.
You know, so it actually looks sometimes like it's a strange way of navigating in the world that we
Excellent
haven't
word.
Been shown. We haven't been
yes.
shown.
Yes. 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 Well, you are doing beautifully. I'm telling you, it's like, I mean, I got a little rowboat and I'm following your ocean cruiser. You know, and it's so funny because my mind, in my rowboat, I'm like, I'm towing an iceberg. Because the mind just seems like it brings this extra baggage that is so unnecessary. You know, the stuff of life, and it's not even just the physical stuff. The mind is, see, because I can speak about the mind because I'm confident in my ability to decipher in the mind. So here's what I'm letting go of. I'm letting go of when someone is sharing something with me, for many moons, what I would do is I would focus on that which was the separation of them. What I am learning through experience of you and Dawn is in the heart, it only sees the unification. It doesn't see the separation. And I'm an, you know, it's like I'm an expert at, you know, deciphering what's wrong. But that's because that the mind will never come to terms to seeing what's peacefully unified. It's not built or designed to do that. Only the heart is. So this isn't about, you know, fine-tuning my mind. This is about the mind is really, from what I'm getting, the mind runs the body in the sense of it tells me, you know, drive the car, brush my teeth, get undressed, you know, those kind of things. As far as deciphering the vibrations of the world, which is, you know, the eyesight, the ear, the hearing, the taste, the touch, that is a wisdom that is delegating. I'm delegating it to my heart. And like I said, I do believe my heart is already tapped in. I just don't know the language yet that I can speak about it, that my mind doesn't even have words. Oh, I'm doing a radio show, yes. And I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Perfect.
It's just so ironic, you know. It's so ironic. It's like selling fruit on a day when, you know, all you have is, you know, meat and vegetables. Why call it a fruit stand? So, anyways, I'm also learning that I should be speaking less. And oh, bless you.
Yeah, there's background.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, anything said before a sneeze is truth. So bless you, I'm shutting up now. Okay, no, but so anything you want to share about your new network that you're building, if you want to share that, or anything, to be honest, anything you want to share or dialogue, I'm open to.
One thing that just popped in my head when you were saying the intelligence of the mind, how the body, when I do massages and when I work doing intuitive massage, and from yoga books and everything, and from my experience, the body has an intelligence that, like you said, the senses, we take in millions of bits of information in our fields,
okay,
that our brain can't, only a fraction of that reaches the brain.
Right.
So our bodies have an intelligence much higher than the brain.
Yes.
And that's I feel is heart too, because you're staying in the body, in the heart. Rather keeping the energy in the brain. And the other piece I wanted to say is if I had to figure things out how you do, which, like I said, amazes me sometimes how you get to space from your brain.
Right.
From figuring things out and you get to this clarity. I have thought of that, and I said, I can't remember how I got there yesterday in my brain today.
Right,
so
right.
It's not going to help
right.
me.
Well, because, you know, another thing that's different in the heart and the brain is the heart lives in the now. The brain literally lives in the past or the future. I mean, it's almost like, because everything we decipher with our five senses is not present. It's the moment after. That's why, I mean, the physical world is not present. It's the moment after. It's what has been created and then deciphered by us. So the technical now moment is still when everything's fluid, and it would be, you know, I guess for lack of a better word, like a gaseous energetic state.
The energetic level. Yeah,
and that's the presence, right. And that can only be deciphered through sensations and emotions and, you know, the spiritual aspect. And it's interesting because mental is not a physical thing. You know, a thought is not a physical thing, and yet it's in this frequency, it's showing up as a physical thing. You know, it's like, because, you know, I guess the question would really be, so what's the difference between a thought and a feeling in clarity?
Say that again. The difference between a thought and a feeling.
Yeah. Like, if a thought is the tool of the mind, a feeling is the tool, and I'm actually going to call it a sensation, because I like the idea of it being senses,
yeah.
You know, even more than just the five senses, you know, then there's intuition is also included, and the clairs, you know, the clairvoyance and all those. You know, it seems that the thought, which is where all of us are conditioned to find our answers from. In fact, how many people have heard growing up, even young people today, that don't follow your heart, follow your head? You know, that is said from most, you know, most caregivers or parents or teachers, whatever, you know. So the reconditioning that we're going through is now, you know, oops, it's the other way around. So what would be the clarity difference between if I think something or I feel something? I mean, is there a way to describe that?
It's a good becoming. Let me see. I'm just going to talk it through and see what we get.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. See, I love that you trust that. That's awesome.
becoming aware of the feelings in your body, and not necessarily that they're emotional.
Okay.
Is also your guidance. Your guidance, not only the heart, because I know that sometimes when you do follow the heart, somehow there's sometimes an egoic attachment. We called it human love compared to divine love. Divine love comes from a higher space of the highest good for everyone, and human love comes from a space of I love you.
Right.
And I need you to love me, and I don't love anybody else but you. Type of,
yeah, huh? It is interesting how the mind and the, I'm just going to say the heart, but it really is about the sensation. It's almost like the field. How,
yes,
the definitions of love clearly become two different experiences. The mind loves, like you said, one. The mind tells us monogamy is the highest form of love, which is technically the highest form of separation we can have. Loving one person, that's it. You love that one person, your quota's up. Can't love anybody else.
not that there's, like, devaluing it at all either, you know, like not devaluing it at all in any
right.
way, but that's where they got those, I think that's where they went and said, don't follow the heart.
Right.
Because they started to see how it is destructive when the attachments form and when there's need. You're needing someone and they're needing you. And then that becomes controlling and separating, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's also the difference between those two ways of being in your heart and And integrity just keeps coming up all the time. Integrity, integrity, mm-hmm. integrity. That word somehow is very strong in compassion, with compassion.
I'm going to look it up. On it. Sorry, keep going. Yes, yes, yes.
In a way, integrity means the highest good of everyone.
Definition. Okay, ready? This is dictionary.com. Because I think it's more than just a high... I mean, I think it's actually... It's like a band. It's a frequency. You know, meaning it... Okay, well... Adherence to moral or ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. Okay, here, the second one I like even better. The state of being whole, entire, undiminished. To preserve the integrity of the empire. A sound, unimpaired, or perfect condition. The integrity of a ship's hull. Because that whole idea of moral and ethical... See, the minute you get into morals and ethics, in my personal opinion, okay, now you're getting into perceptions. But the state of being whole,
mm-hmm.
to me, that defines integrity. You know, and the state of being whole is now getting beyond the illusion of the separation. So that's why it has, you know, there's such a presence in and of itself in integrity. You know, when people say, why did you do the right thing? It's like because every human or every being, human or otherwise, knows what the right thing to do is in any given moment. Every single being. I mean, I heard that line on the show, on the movie K-Pax with Kevin Spacey. I don't know if you ever saw it. Anyways, when I heard that, I resonated deeply that every being in the universe knows the right thing to do in any given situation. You know, it's almost like we know it as a stream of consciousness. You know, it's because wholeness is felt. Wholeness is known. You know, and yet we come into this dimension and we're all over the board with the... playing yeah. around with everything but integrity, it seems like.
And then,
I mean, not
and
us,
then,
but.
when it said wholeness, that hit a chord in me too, because there's a piece of that I feel. Yeah, this is always a highly controversial.
Well, I love it. Good. I personally love controversy, so bring it on. But go ahead.
Yeah, I don't go far with this with too many people. But
okay.
I feel that anything can be forgiven. If you can forgive yourself and you can have that integrity back. Like that saying, saints were always not always a saint. And you may become a saint, something to that effect. But I feel that they even say it in the Bible and everything that we were brought up with. What is that? Like the judgment day or
right,
there's certain...
Right, right. Well, don't throw stones if you live in a glass house, which ultimately I don't know anybody who doesn't live in a glass house, which is... personally, what gives me the courage to come out here and kind of make a total fool of myself. I mean, simply because there's so, it's like the paradox, you know, the whole idea of what you're saying about sinners and saints, you know, I was a drug dealer with integrity. Can't believe I'm saying that, but yes, here it is. That's my truth.
And like at this point, it's not whether if that was good or bad. It's how do you feel now? Can you be with yourself now and feel good still?
Absolutely.
And there's
Absolutely.
Your integrity. Uh-huh.
Well, and that's you know, Indeed, because I guess, you know, when people say to me, you can only make the choice based on what you know, you know, whatever your choice is that you're making, it's based on the level of awareness that you're at. Because at some point, if I am aware of when I crack an egg to make some eggs, and I can hear that being in fear because I've just cracked the shell, the days of me eating eggs will be done. I mean, at this point, I'm not aware of that. I don't have that sensitivity turned on yet. If I, you know, so indeed, I mean, I was, you know, I grew up on this planet in severe dysfunction and responded in kind. I was dysfunctional. Even though there are things like integrity, see, like when I was cleaning houses, I said to a girlfriend who we were doing it together, I was like, listen, if we never snoop, because these are the kind of things that my father actually taught me, and they really held, you know, they made a deep impact in my life. And he would say to me, you know, you're only as good as your word. So I told her, I was like, listen, essentially we're coming into people's homes, you know, they're giving us the keys and the combinations to their security alarms. I was like, I mean, stealing is the obvious thing that we know we're not going to do. I said, but now there's a level of playing field here. There's also a level of snooping that some people do and some people don't. And I said to her, if we never snoop, our weakest link is really quite strong. Because if anybody ever asks, we know we have one answer we can always return to. Never have I snooped. You know, I was like, as long as you do it once, you know, for me, I was like, then the system is now, well, you did it once, now, okay, well, it's weak now, because once and 100 times is almost no different. And so, you know, I was like, if this is going to be our business, I say we never snoop, you know, and she totally agreed. And it was interesting because I get partially is I don't need to know what's going on in somebody else's diary in order to have my life fulfilled. I had enough going on in my own life that, you know, I was just there to clean their house and get paid. You know, that's how it was for me, you know, where other people are, you know, have their own things going on and, you know, but so, integrity is something that indeed you can, you know, I mean, what's an integritous drug dealer? Well, I, you know, my counts were good, and I didn't sell to pregnant people. Those were two of the things I was damn proud of. But, you know, when I left the world and I left the business and everything, I, you know, in all honesty, I see what bankers and people of legitimate jobs have done in our culture. And, you know, I say to myself, I think it's real important that we look at life and say, for ourselves, well, what's integrity and what's not? Because people think, you know, like, I hear all the time, like, the whole argument about pot, you know, pot's illegal and alcohol's legal, you know, or even prescription drugs being legal. And, you know, I make my own choices up about these, the things that I do, that I put into my body. And, you know, if the consequences turn it around that, you know, I get arrested for smoking a doobie, well, then I can be arrested for smoking a doobie. But my belief is that, you know, how do I put this? What I do to my body, I can't even go another, the seatbelt law. I don't feel that the government has the right to tell me whether I'm going to wear a seatbelt or not. Now, that's not to say that when I don't drive by a cop that, you know, I put my seatbelt on so he doesn't give me a ticket. I mean, I'm not looking to pay these fines. But I can also tell you that I don't live my life based on, quote, unquote, what Congress decides is legal and not legal. Because I personally find, you know, their choices to be out of balance and whacked out, because the prescription drugs of these antidepressants, I think, are much more dangerous to the development of spirituality than me smoking a bowl. I mean, that's that's truly where I sit with that. And, you know, I mean, I think pot has medicinal purposes. It's already been proven on that. You know, I mean, there's things Mother Earth gives us, and our government, in its own fear of losing its power, chooses it to be illegal. So that makes me, quote-unquote, the criminal. But when you look at it from, you know, the space of, am I in alignment with the planet and my own soul, you know, if I muscle test, I get a clear yes. You are in alignment. So
your integrity.
I'm in integrity. You know,
redemption,
so.
That's the word.
Well, you know, this is why I love guys like Julian Assange, you know, like, you know, he's pulling out the secrets, you know. I mean, because it just makes me laugh, because what laws are we talking about when we talk about integrity? Because if we're talking about laws made by man, there's so much corruption in the laws that were made. How, you can't say just because you follow the laws of man that you're in integrity. Because if they're created in corruption, well, then what are you standing on? I'm standing on a corrupt platform? You know, when politicians make promises and then they don't keep them, and now they're in their positions to, you know, to tell me what's going to happen in my world. Well, you got there by lying. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
And again, I think for me, what it keeps coming back to is integrity is something that, like you were saying, really quite clearly, can you look in the mirror and be okay with who you are? You know, that's an integrity. For me, that is way more important than, are you following the rules of the government and you know, things of that nature. Because personally, I'm all for a revolution, man. I am all for it. I think when people take their power back, they will clearly see that, you know, this is a quote from the movie V for Vendetta. People shouldn't fear their government. Government should fear the people. And we don't have that in this country. Because, you know, there's no more middle class, you know. It's like people are working their butts off, paying tremendous amounts of taxes, so a government can take all those billions of dollars, you know, and kill each other in other countries. And when I think the majority of the people here don't really have anything against the majority of the people in those other countries. You know, I don't think, you know, I know a lot of people that say, listen, I'm okay with paying taxes, but I don't want it to go towards war. We should have, you know, we should have those choices to make those decisions. And in actuality, we do have those choices when we take our power back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even know how I got on this. God bless you, Stephanie. You are. You just kept me going.
I see a big piece in how they keep us powerless, in how all the media and how they make us feel that we're not good enough. We're never
yeah,
pretty
absolutely.
Enough. We're never thin enough, we're never wealthy enough, so we're never good enough. So everybody's working to buy that L'Oreal lipstick.
Yeah.
And that next
Which
possible.
And you know what's in that L'Oreal lipstick? Some of the most obscene ingredients. I mean, obscene. Things like cow fetuses, pig hearts. The makeup industry is using parts of animals that they don't use in dog food and cat food. And
mm-hmm.
Almeen did a course on the things that are in our shampoo, our daily products that we use. Obscene. I mean, I'm using that word, you know, intentionally. You know, we are. She brought up things like, there are products that have already been proven clearly by the FDA to cause cancer. I mean, products like shampoos and toothpastes and soaps, and they're still on the market. I mean, they're being sold in pretty little containers, and it's literally killing us.
I mean, and then we choose that too, though. We choose to be powerless and give our power
away.
Dependent, because we've made that choice also.
Yes. No, In fact, it's very important that that is, I believe, the cart before the horse, or the horse before the cart. In other words, that manifests from us choosing not to have power.
Yes, because it's a dependent relationship.
Absolutely.
And we rather just say, hey, you take care of it.
You make choices for us. Yeah, you decide for me. I'm not smart enough, pretty enough, rich enough, bright enough, strong enough, clear enough to make a choice for myself. Right. I'm not there yet. That's interesting. I've actually said that a few times myself, in fact, today. So I honor that. Well, well done there, Steph. Definitely.
There's still more to go. And then in the health industry, the preventative health care and everything, it's not about health that we have to obtain health. I have to do 10 sit-ups tonight. I have to work out tomorrow. I have to eat good tomorrow. I have to eat this. No, it's about feeling healthy right now.
Right.
And feeling healthy now in this moment. Not that we have to get somewhere to be healthy. And that's a huge turnover in the people that are healthy in taking care of themselves. I was in that industry for 7 years. And it was about getting somewhere, getting healthy.
Well, you know, it's so funny. It's like, it almost seems like, I mean, literally, is there anything in mainstream media that does empower us? Because when you think, you know, if it's about getting there, that just means, okay, so it's out of the now moment and into the future. And as long as you're in your future, you've just given your power away. That's, you know, all power is in the presence, which is like what you're saying, you know, being present of being healthy now. You know, because I think when we get into our now moment, like 80% of the things we worry about disappear. They're not real experiences. You know what I mean? They're just things we're worried about happening. But they haven't even happened. You know? And in all honesty, I know from being a professional worrier, it's an aging process. Worrying will age you. I know several people. That's another byproduct of the mind. I don't believe the heart worries. I think the heart accepts and knows what to do in the moment that it needs to be done. And that includes everything from surrendering, that includes letting go and dying, you know, meaning the mind has this thing that, you know, like I see it with people that, you know, the older people that go into hospital, you know, or, you know, we have to save their life no matter what, you know, including putting people on respirators and breathing apparatus and you know, things that will pump their blood and breathe for them and circulate for them. And, you know, you got to raise your hand and have some level of awareness and go, is that the quality of life you'd want? That you're alive in a hospital room, hooked up to machines? I mean, is that what you think is a success as a way to experience this planet and this dimension? Or like many other cultures outside of America, is it okay to just die and not have that be a failure? Or because like everything in America is about how long, you know, how long was your relationship? Because that determines whether it's a success or not. You couldn't have a successful relationship if it's under a year. That's it. That's, you just failed, you know, according to Americans. And, you know, what kind of nonsense is that? Damn it, I ask you. Sorry.
Yeah, it's
a little feisty over here.
the conditions that we grow up with, the conditions around us.
Yes.
That's what I saw when you were saying.
Yeah, well, it's a crock of shit, in my opinion. I mean, it's funny because I have been flying under the radar since I'm 21. You know, I've worked under the table. I don't own anything. My belief system has not been quote unquote what my surrounding town belief system is. And it's definitely been, you know, it's been an interesting journey. It's had definitely moments of, you know, elation and bliss, and it's had plenty of moments of confusion, fear, and holy shit, what did I do? But the one thing it has is, you know, it's deep down the rabbit hole of, I'm ready to go. You know, I'm not saying I'm jumping in front of any buses or trains, but I've lived the full life. I can't say I feel complete because I do still want a child. But I have parts of my life that, you know, I tend to play a little bit in death, or at least the potential of it, whether doing severe drugs or hanging out with severe people. I tend to play in that arena, and it just more and more shows me that, you know, the temporariness of this all. You know, it's almost like, what are you getting so excited about, Goldie? It's all temporary. I mean, that's Buddha's message, right? With the when they do the sand mandalas. You know, they make these amazingly beautiful things, and they chant, and then in one fell swoop, they make it go away because it's symbolic of us, you know, in this dimension. Steph, I love you. You have such courage to come on with the show tonight. Oh my God! Is anybody else sweating? It's like I'm in a heat wave over here. Now, granted, my father has the coal stove going, so it's 120 degrees here, anyways. But is it just me? Are you feeling energy? Okay. What about you, polar bear?
I'm all set.
You're all set.
I'm nice and cozy.
Yes, you're a polar bear.
There you go.
You're used to the cold. He's probably sitting outside right now in a t-shirt and shorts.
You were saying something with I was wondering if this applies to you at all, in any case. So you see. Do you see I'll just say it and then we'll...
Please, of course, yes.
We'll forgive all of us for it.
I love your style, girlfriend. I love it. Yes, that would make me more intrigued. Okay.
When you hit this level of consciousness and then you're in public and...
Okay.
And you feel out of sync.
Okay.
And then that turns to, for I think a lot of us in going into these next levels of consciousness and awakening, I think everybody's going through this because I hear a lot of people, they get angry that other people aren't conscious. In that piece, they're actually losing the consciousness that they're looking for because they do the separation again. But this is where a piece of where like the forgiveness of, okay, so I'm not connecting at this level. So what am I not doing for myself and being my truth that I can do so I do connect at this level with them. Does that make any sense? I went shopping at the mall the other day.
All right, there you go. Give an example. The examples are the best. Okay.
I went shopping at the mall the other day, and I don't connect in that space anymore.
Okay.
I used to want to buy the nicest jacket in the But I'm walking in the mall instead now. Like, I'm not connecting to any of this. I'm not connecting to the consciousness here. I'm not connected. And I felt like, well, maybe it's okay because I want my books to be on the shelves selling. I want my clothing. Well, I don't want to make clothing, but
right.
But
no, I understand.
I want to create. I want to create and be what people are looking for in the consciousness that I'm creating or that I'm in. And then I felt the connectedness through that. I felt connected and grounded through that. Because I wasn't connected in being in the space of I need to consume. I don't want to buy anything. There's nothing I need. There's
right.
Nothing I need to buy here. You can't even convince me, the best salesman. You can't convince me to buy something. But so it makes you disconnected, and you could go to the space of being angry and resentful towards everybody because you're feeling disconnected. But then I felt the connection is me not being my authentic self and having the books to sell to offer my creation. So I'm not stepping up into the space that I feel being pushed or called to, in other words. I'm staying in my small self and not connecting to my where I'm being called to because I'm scared, but then staying in my small self is not serving me or anyone else.
Well, first of all, no matter what you're doing, it's always serving. I mean, that's part of the ability that we can literally screw up because there's always purpose to it. I mean, God, you're eloquent in your speaking, Stephanie. You're eloquent. I resonate deeply with you, and I think you ask amazing, amazing questions. And just so you know, when you're asking a question, my belief is you couldn't ask the question without having the answer. So,
yeah.
In fact, I was just telling Polar Bear that earlier tonight. Anyways, I think...
That's when I felt connected. Go ahead.
because for me, I mean, I can only speak for myself. There was a period in my life, I mean, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing my seventh anniversary show, which, by the way, you're going to be on, which is going to be fabulous. And when I first started doing the radio show, I mean... You know, let's just put the truth out there. I was on a major ego trip. Major. Like, I was strutting around Unity. I got a radio show. Mm-hmm. And now, what was interesting is I saw how my having a radio show really triggered the ego of everybody who wanted to sell something. And so for, like, the first 3 to 4 years, it was all about getting sponsors, you know. The media has such potential. I mean, I was hanging around a guy that was he's essentially the one that created my whole opportunity. He didn't create me, but he created the opportunity for me. And he was talking about being a billionaire. And in all honesty, in the media world, that's no joke. You can potentially, I mean, Oprah, you can be a billionaire in the world of media. But what I really got, and not so quickly, but I got when I did get the insight, I got it that, first of all, I'm too lazy to want to be a millionaire or even a billionaire. I mean, a billionaire or even a millionaire. I don't do what I do because I want my show or books or whatever I want to be sold in malls. I do what I do because it's like there is a passion in me that is truly, it's a deeper part than my personality that guides my hand, so to speak. It takes me to the woods when it's, you know, 20 degrees out, or it, you know, it allows me to do things even in integrity. There's just this presence underneath me that compels me, for lack of a better word, it compels me to say, if get on the air tonight, totally make a fool out of yourself, you know. I mean, and I said to Polar Bear, I was like, you know, let's just intend something magical. And Stephanie, you are the magic that I intended. You're so gorgeous, girlfriend. You're just beautiful. But you're welcome. But so it's a journey that I believe everybody needs to go through on some level, because, see, the culture will tell you the gift is in having your books in the store, being known by name by hundreds of millions of people. And yet all you have to do is watch, you know, behind the scenes on E! To see how true fame is a really whacked out space. I mean, they just, you know, the Michael Jacksons and Britney Spears, and, you know, they're just whacked. You know, because I know what it's like. I mean, on average, I get about from 20 to 40 people that listen to my show live. I get lots of hits on my archives. But I can tell you, just having the energy of 20 people can literally feel like an overload in my energetic matrix. I can't even imagine every day doing a four-hour show like Howard Stern with 6 billion people listening to you. It's like, I mean, you really have to have the matrix for that, to handle that much psychic energy. And the truth in my belief system is that it's not the number of people that you make the changes from. It's the depth from which you are coming from. You know, Almeen taught me about the power of the pivot. You know, that where the corner sits of like a top or something, there's so much power in the direct point, you know, that when you change things from that perspective as opposed to going out to the larger part of the top, you'll be more effective. So I can be more effective staying small, being quiet. You know, you hear stories about people, you know, it's kind of like what I was saying about before, about flying above the radar. When you start getting really, I mean, look at Oprah. Oprah bought her own network because Oprah got tired of being told what she could and could not talk about on her TV show. Actually, the first thing she did was get a radio show, because she did, you know, it's like there are rules to play by, and mass consciousness is making those rules. And in my personal opinion, you know, because people are like, you got to be in it to change it, and I'm like, no, you got to know how it works. See, one of the things that the power behind all these rules are people that, you know, do these, you know, what are the builders? What are those people called that did the secret societies and
the Masons?
The Masons. Now, you know, it's like if you look at history, before, you know, it's like there was a lot of concentrated spiritualism that got kind of, you know, produced where we're at. So I believe it's like, you know, look at Obama. Obama was elected by a very grassroots, you know, Facebook. I was watching this thing on CNBC. Facebook had a lot to do with Obama being elected. And this is somebody that basically, you know, the guy, you know, he's person of the year, but, you know, he created this, you know, in his Harvard dorm room. And yet 12% of the population is now on Facebook, which is changing, you know, everything. It's like, and I get that that's a big thing, but I love it that, you know, the guy who created, I can't even think of his name. I could run in the kitchen and look at time, but, you know, he's still running it. He's still, you know, big names like Microsoft wants to buy it for $15 million or $15 billion even. I don't, it's either millions or billions. And, you know, it's all going down to he's like, I'm running the show. This is my baby, you know, because you can't even, I guess what I'm trying to say, if you're going to go viral, it's not something you can do. You can't create that. You can experience it if that's part of what you're supposed to experience. But if you're passionate about what you're doing and you're looking for the change to do it in, you don't need numbers to really influence change in the cosmos. And so I guess it ultimately comes down to, you know, what's your focus? What's your motive for doing what you're doing? Are you, because if you're doing it to make money, you need numbers. If you're doing it because you're compelled within your own being and you cannot not do it, you know, you definitely need some sort of audience, of course. You know, I mean, if I was coming out here night after night and nobody was listening, inevitably I would stop coming out. But my thing is not determined by the numbers. My feeling is determined by, you know, I don't know, I guess a sense of kind of what we were talking about earlier, the integrity, you know, of it being, it making a difference, you know, and even in just one person's life, which, I mean, 90% of the time, it's my life that's making a difference. You know, really kind of becomes selfish, and I'm just delighted that other people find what I have to say interesting on some level. You know, I don't know. Does that answer that question?
Yeah, and I saw a couple things. I saw that I was apologizing for, in a way, in my speech, I was apologizing for wanting to have a book on those shelves. Where,
indeed,
why not? Why can't I have a book on those shelves?
Absolutely no reason. That's exactly right.
And then the other piece was, I wasn't really being in my authentic self, and there was the disconnect when I'm not being in my authentic self and really fulfilling the spirit and fulfilling the soul. So,
well, let me ask you a question. What moves you to, what motivates you to do what you do?
The feelings from inside.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's your indicator. Are you motivated for fame? Are you motivated for passion, pleasure? You know, because I mean, I was initially motivated by, absolutely, I was motivated by fame to do this radio show. I mean, and it's so funny because when I was motivated by fame, I guess I cared more about what other people thought when that was the case. Where at this point, I'm not motivated by fame. I mean, I'm motivated by, I don't want to shut up yet. I still got something to say, and blessed be, Blog Talk Radio gives me a platform to do it. Truly, because I think why we do things is important to be aware of in ourselves, because it's the difference between the experience being horrendous and the experience being magical. You know, what I'm saying? That it's a major key in when numbers make a difference. Like whenever I have a guest come on and say, you know, how many people listen to you? I'm like, stop. You don't want to be on my show then. Because I get that the message I'm sending out most of the time, which is self-empowering, like we were saying earlier, people don't want to hold on to that they're responsible for their creations. So with that being the case, I can immediately tell you I'm not going to draw in hundreds of thousands or millions of people. Because they're not going to agree with being the creator of their experience yet, so why would they adhere to my message?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's fine because I don't have to talk to 100,000 people. If I'm talking to 10 people, and I know this from our mastermind group and polar bear conversations I've had with him, that helps my life, you know, because we are a minority at the moment, even though I clearly see that shifting. I mean, clearly, 2011 has never felt so, I've never felt such momentum towards, you know, actually seeing in mass consciousness, at least the people that I'm hanging out with, elements of the awakening. You know, we're, you know, like you said, we're putting together a network, and nobody's, you know, it's a round table. Nobody's at the head of the table. It's a round table. You know, that's your angel party was very, you know, it was a beautiful thing. I didn't, you know, it didn't seem clicky. It seemed like everybody, you know, I know for myself, I introduced and was speaking to almost everybody there, and it was enjoyable. And you know what I mean? It was, it's the dream. You know, the dream is becoming a manifested reality. So I'm happy about that. You know, did you ever see the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? It's a basically, you know, the whole movie about how Moses liberated the Jews from Egypt. There's a very poignant point in the movie where Moses, they recognize him as being a Jewish, you know, heritage. So he's in the mud pits, you know, finding himself. And this guy dies because one of the Egyptian guys throws this, like, stake into his belly. And it's an old, old man. And, you know, they tell Moses, you know, get him out of the pit, you know, let him die off on the side. And the guy looks Moses in the eye and he goes, you know, he said, you know, do you have anything to say, old man? And he goes, my only wish was that I would see our liberator before I die. And, of course, you know, he's in the hands of Moses. He did see the liberator, but of course in his life, in his consciousness, he didn't know. He was just being held by a guy in a, you know, in a mud pit. And the reason why I bring that up is because I feel that kind of truth right now. Like, I feel like we don't see everything that's happening, but we're already liberated. You know, this is, we're just kind of going through the motions of how we got there. I mean, we've had several conversations personally on this subject, and I really do feel that that's more of that is happening. And, you know, that's a great thing because, you know, the planet appreciates it. The planet, the animals, the trees, the babies, you know, all the beings without voices truly appreciate, you know, the heaven on earth lifestyle. Oh, hey, we have somebody's putting up their hand. I'm gonna let them talk. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, area code 386. You're on the air.
Hi, Goldie. This is Art down in Florida.
Hey, Art. How are you?
Just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Awesome.
I just wanted to tune in and say hi because I know you are doing very, very well at what you are doing. You're putting information out. You're helping. You're part of this change. And we're proud of you. We love you.
Oh, thank you, Art. Oh, I love you.
Yeah.
Indeed. My audience is the best audience in the whole wide world.
Absolutely. But you're putting your thoughts right out there, your knowingness, your truth.
Yeah.
Our truth. It's our truth also.
Right.
And it just totally feels good to have that help out there, you know?
Yeah.
You're out there spreading the word. This is this wasn't able to be done some years ago, you know? You're getting around the globe.
No, that's truth. That's truth. No mistake.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
And you're putting it out there. You're a very beautiful part of that.
Thank you.
I wanted to, you know,
thank you.
I could tell you were not feeling the best of the best of the best, but you
right.
are. You are.
No, indeed. Right. Well, and I just, like Stephanie was saying, and Polar Bear, I do think it's important that this isn't just like a show. This is life.
Absolutely.
Know, like,
right. And it's in the process of change, and you are part of that change. We
indeed.
Are part of the change.
Indeed.
The children coming onto the planet now are part of this change.
Yes.
But to keep that verification going on and on, letting everybody know, you know, we're here and we're changing.
Yeah.
And
we're not going away.
We're doing. We love what we're doing.
We love what we're doing.
Right.
I really do love what I'm doing. Oh,
I do too.
Your share is exquisite. No, indeed. And I think that's the part that kind of the mass conscious look at us. They can't believe we love what we do because we're so off the grid. They
right.
don't even. It's like from their perspective, how could you love life without a closet full of pocketbooks and shoes or.
Right.
Or, you know, cars and motorcycles for the men in the driveway. You know what I mean? It's like they don't even comprehend that nature could bring us this kind of joy and simplicity
right.
can bring us this kind of bliss.
It's like some of the things that you were speaking of, that the ingredients in this and that and the other, I've broken away from so much of this stuff, so many, I'm going to say as far back as in the 70s.
Right.
I mean, my heart's been open to listen to spirit.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the things that you're saying is verification of stuff that I already do and know, but it's good to get it out there for others to understand this. And it is the truth.
Yeah.
And our bodies, myself, Joshua and John, very, very healthy.
Yeah.
We don't get sick. The last time I saw a doctor was in 1972.
Right on, brother. Right on.
That was because I was compelled to do so for the job that I had. You had to go once a year to get a physical.
Right.
But to back off of a lot of these things was the right thing to do.
Right.
And
now the world is finally getting that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you are part of that, Goldie. You are part of putting it out there.
Mm.
And that's why I wanted to call and let you know we love you, you know.
I deeply appreciate you and the boys.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. In fact, I'm going to be in contact with you because somebody brought up that they wanted to do a show about the kids through awareness.
Right.
And nobody, that show never comes past my ears, my heart, without me thinking of Josh and John. So I will, you know, I'll be in touch with you because I want them on the show. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll let them know.
So, okay, that would be fabulous. Thank you.
Okay, Goldie.
Oh, Art, well, thank you for calling.
Okay.
Your frequency just, you serve me tremendously in the sense
you're the same way. You're the same.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you.
Okay.
I love you. Love to the boys, too.
Okay. Have a lovely evening,
right.
And I'll enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay. Namaste. Yes,
right.
Thank you so
Same
much.
You.
Bye now.
Okay.
Wow. I'm pretty blessed. That was amazing. That's the magic, man. That is the magic. You still here, Steph?
I'm here.
Okay. Wow. Life is amazing. You know, because you know what it is? We're becoming a community. That the internet and, it, you know, I would actually call it the heart lattice. You know what I mean? The wisdom of the heart is actually showing up as community. You know what I mean? It's like, because one of the things I would always get, like when I would read like the David Icke books or, you know, the conspiracy theories is that, you know, it's kind of what I started saying about the Masons. It's like they always knew to get together in groups. You know, where it seemed like spiritual people were, you know, were pockets of us, you know, but we weren't uniting. And the power is in the unification of it. You know, what's that? Jim Morrison has a line, you've got the guns, we've got the numbers. you know, Gandhi, when he liberated India, you know, they had the guns, but India had the numbers. You know what I mean? It's like,
because
it's an interesting thing, because it's a very individual process to go through an awakening. You know, it's a very personal experience, but we are actually getting to the space where enough of us have done it that it, you know, it's like the new level of awareness, which is the heart. It's like that grid is simultaneously on, you know, with the grid of the mind. You know, the mind is the majority mass consciousness, but the change going on in the planet is coming from within those beings with mind into heart, and it's unifying us. And there is power in unification. To be honest, I think it's actually what unified the kids to get Obama elected. You know what I mean? They felt him, and they, you know, his whole election was grassroots. There's power in that. But it's not the same power as the mind. It's, you know, it's a different power than the mind, because, you know, like we've been talking, it's things that you do, you know, not necessarily for the glory of it, you know, because I think most of us are coming from spaces where, you know, our asses just got kicked for the last 20 years. Well, meaning every time we went out into public. I mean, were you always accepted for your belief system?
Me?
Yeah.
No, most of the time, never.
Exactly. Exactly.
I could quiet a whole room of 20 people in a second, and they're all look at me. I used to quiet rooms in like a second. I'd say one thing with 20 people in a room, and they'd all turn it to me and stop for a second, and then just keep talking about what they were talking about.
Right. It's always like they would make it known that, you know, that you were different than the group. You know, it's, you know, the pioneers, you know, my guess is Christopher Columbus probably took a heap of shit from people when he was like, I'm going to sail around the world. You know, no, you're not. You're going to fall off. It's like, no, I'm going to sail around the world. You know what I mean? I mean, the pioneers have always been the ones that are ostracized, but you know, the amazing part is the momentum is that, you know, enough of us are actually, you know, we're coagulating, we're becoming, I don't want to say a force to be reckoned with, because there's no force in the heart. We're just becoming a presence that you can't deny anymore. And I put myself in that space, but I'll be honest with you, I am still in the process of dropping from my head to my heart. I am, and you know, wow, Art's call really affected me, because I feel like it just feels like, okay, the validation, it just seems so, I'm not used to the validation being for me. The heart is, this is the heart, right? I mean, the head is, I'm so used to defending my position, you know, in the sense of, I don't care if you don't believe me. You'll figure it out when the time is right, where that's not my situation at all. I mean, I'm supported, and, you know, you popped on the show, Steph, you know, and Polar Bear is just here, you know, in his beautiful silence, energetically supported. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's taken a turn, and it's amazing. It's amazing. I believe we've come lifetimes to come to this point. I don't think this is, you know, this isn't our first go. We've been prepping for this time for lifetimes. What do you think?
the connectedness. That's what you're feeling now. The new connectedness.
Yes.
Where before you were like a spiritual renegade, now you're feeling like supported.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm telling you, it's like when I first went through the awakening, I was talking about this last week. When I first went through the awakening, I started understanding that, like, I would meet people, like, I would meet guys on dates, and I would put my hand out and go, hey, you know, my name's Goldie, I've been molested. You know what I mean? Like, my friend coined it, I led with my injuries. You know, I led with my wounds. Now, the reason why I'm bringing that up is because there's now enough support spiritually that exactly what you just said, I can't even have the story be the renegade anymore. It that's inapplicable at this point. You know, it is. It's like we've got a union going. It's not a union that Jimmy Hoffa was running. You know, it's a union based on the heart itself. It's a space and time experience. And if you're in your heart, you're in the union. You know, you don't need a card. You don't need to sign up. You don't need to be accepted by another. It's part of the experience of the wisdom of the heart. You know what I'm saying? It's part of the isness of it.
The shamans call it big love.
Say that again?
The shamans call it big love.
Okay.
Big love when you hit that space where you're in love with everyone.
And everything. You know, including the toxicity of it all and including the governments and, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you can see beyond the duality that made it wrong into the space of, oh, look at the perfection of that. Indeed. I mean, you know, it's interesting because something I got recently, like within this past week, was, you know, I go to the woods so I can feel at peace. But, you know, I have to go to the woods to feel at peace. And because of the weather we've been having on the East Coast, I haven't been getting to the woods. And it's like, so what does that mean? So, okay, so Goldie doesn't get peace. You know, it's like, and I'm realizing, like I had a dream the other day, two nights ago, where a being came to me and said, you're not going to the woods. The woods are in you. Now tap into the woods. You don't need to go to the woods to tap into the woods. Because as much as it's an illusion that another human being can make me feel, you know, safe or peaceful or happy or miserable, nature is actually, that's also a part of the illusion. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't, you know, because God knows I preach to everybody, go to the forest or go to nature. But the minute I became reliant on nature, that's when it became my illusion. You know, it's like, in other words, I was sitting here going, I can't get to the woods. You know, it's raining or it's sleeting or whatever my excuse is. And, okay, so what, now I'm not going to be peaceful because my physical body isn't sitting amongst trees when I have approximately 12 houseplants sitting in front of me? Because technically, you know, I mean, my mind says, well, why can't I get the same feeling from these houseplants that I get from the woods? Where the heart goes, you're in your house, you're in the woods, you're in the plant. You know what I mean? It's like the heart doesn't even know boundaries. The heart doesn't know inside from outside, you from me. The heart really only knows the unification of everything. That's why love, you know, is the panacea. And it's not the love that, you know, monogamous love or, you know, that kind of love. Love being a frequency, you know, that I mean, I know I've had it, you know, maybe once or twice in my life I've experienced full-blown love, and I don't even know if it was full-blown. I mean, I know when I went on the spaceship, there was definitely some serious expansion going on, and I know I feel peaceful in the woods, but I don't think my matrix is taking on full light capacity yet, because I don't think I'm ready for that yet. But on the same note, the way I get there is just by being present right now with whatever capacity I can take in. You know, it's not a matter of getting more; it's just a matter of be here now. There's no more to be had. It's just be here now. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting. Whew, I'm sweating again, babe. I go on these tirades and I start sweating. Share with me more, though, Stephanie. I honor your brilliance. I do. I honor you. I think you're going to be an amazing author in Barnes & Noble and Borders. And the reason why I think you're going to be amazing is because your wisdom is a truth that the whole world needs to hear.
Like, that's where the connection is. Like, it's not that I want to be in Barnes & Noble. It's that I want to connect to the human race. And not separate myself, that I'm in a minority of spiritual people when there's a whole human race out there that I want to connect and reach.
Right.
So that's where the piece of, like, I want to be in Barnes & Noble, because I want to be connected to the human race. And exactly, the big love. So it's not, I don't want to sell my, this, the book is just a play on words.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to write.
Yeah, it can be a workshop. It can be whatever it is. Yeah, I get
it. Yeah. Like, I don't want it just to be in the spiritual stores. I want to be. Yeah, that's the. That's
so we'll
the
talk
love.
About the networking then, because that's what's inspiring you to do the networking, no?
So. The networking, yeah, the networking is, that's coming from, let's see, that's coming from a space of providing people, yeah, that's the space of, like, yes, I could go the spiritual realm and go into that heavily and deep into that, but there's a piece of me that's, doesn't feel comfortable exactly there. I want to reach other levels, and it's like I've come from a background of going to school, and my language is what I learned in school and what I learned in my life, and I saw myself going into the spiritual realm and trying to change my language and to fit. Mm. To fit people so that they couldn't understand it. And mm-hmm. then I finally came to terms, like, that's not me. That's just not me. I can't speak like that. I can't.
Right. Right.
And I saw it as another separation of separating myself from who I am and separating myself and trying to be somebody else. So it all started to click somehow with the timing and the momentum of, like, of who I, what I've done in my life and who I am is coming out into how I want to serve, And mm-hmm. it's showing up. So where for a little while there, I thought, like, I wanted to be in community. I just wanted to just sell everything. I have nothing to sell.
Well, but you mean, like, travel around the world with a backpack or something of that nature?
Yeah,
in other words,
like,
travel light.
Yeah, move to community. Move to where there's big pieces of spiritual community, and just be part of them. And that was giving up who I am again, because that wasn't in my matrix. That wasn't in my matrix in my field.
Okay.
So bringing that in, that's still a part of me also, the communities. I spend time with these communities that are, yes, the world, and they know each other. They stay with each other in Indonesia, and then they stay with each other in Costa Rica, and then they live here and they live there. Hey, anybody driving from Ohio to Chicago next week? Yeah, I need a ride. Like, are you
nice.
Kidding? How do you guys live this way?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, I'm in awe of that, because I'm so not that.
Yeah.
So therefore, I look at that and exactly like you say, like, wow. Wow, you know, there's part of me that wish I could do that, but like you know, that's not my matrix, but that doesn't mean I don't honor those that it is. It's like, wow, that's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah, it's fun to be a witness to it. And
yes,
finally
exactly.
I was like, I was thinking that that's like where I want to head towards. And but then that's, you again go into separation.
Right.
When you go sometimes, so the piece where I'm come to is that I want to be connected to everyone in, and the people that do live like that, and then I also want to be connected to the doctors and the lawyers and
right
the influential people, so that. Yeah, so it's Lisa Starkweather, an empowerment coach, she puts it really good. I love how she says, don't give your power away by putting me in a box.
Right.
So that's where I'm, that's what's driving me to step out into this networking piece of connecting the spiritual community with the medical professionals, the medical community,
right,
and
right.
Trying to be a bridge for both of them, because the alternative medicine also looks at the medical community is not good, and
right.
they are messengers of God. They are here to help and heal. They're
right.
Special people. They're special people in those fields. Not everyone, but not everyone in the spiritual fields are special either. Always.
Are in integrity either. Exactly. No, absolutely. Absolutely. No labeling. You can't label either way. And indeed,
yeah.
I mean, indeed. Indeed.
So that's the drive for me to connect those. Connect it all. And then
yeah.
There's a piece of me that there's a, like, I want to be in these communities too. I want to know what doctor to go to when I need to, when I'm 80, or what what hospice to go to. Like, those things run through my head. Like, where am I going to die? How am I going to die? Where am I going to, not, I don't think of that all the time, but it's something that runs through. Like, I say, like, I want to have a group of shamans around me shaking their rattles while I'm dying, and try.
Nice.
This is a fantasy kind of thing, but to have no morphine and really feel the pain, so that I can learn from it, and just have shamans there, because pain is just a sensation, and you can.
Right. You can transfer. You can transform it and transmute it, indeed, to ecstasy. I mean, all you have to do is look at the S&M culture. Yeah, no, indeed. Indeed.
For this.
But, you know, it's
jungle.
Interesting. Oh, no, speak of the jungle. I like when you speak of the jungle. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, I just saw, like, I want to be in the jungle and with shamans rattling around me and people watching to learn.
Nice.
Anyway.
Nice. No, I love, I mean, this is going to sound crazy. I love talking about death. I mean, my show in the last 2-3 months has been a real a bridge, for lack of a better word, for the wisdom of consciously dying. You know, whether you're consciously dying or consciously supporting someone who is. And, you know, I definitely equate this with the, you know, this is part of the quantum leap of consciousness, that there's nothing to be afraid of with death unless we're, you know, other than the fear itself. You know, in other words, if you're afraid you're going to go through brim and firestone, well, being afraid of that, you're going to go through that. You know, it's like, but not because you're from original sin or, you know, that's just a condition of you know, the religion, the culture, you know, I've spoken to several people, I'd say in the last 6 months, that are like, you know, they've said to me, do you really believe you can change your beliefs? I mean, people believe that beliefs are, you know, it's like the hand you've been dealt. Well, that's what you got to die with. You know, you got beliefs. That's what it's like. Whoa, not even close. I mean, I have a friend of mine who says, because I was born and raised Jewish, I'll always be Jewish. And I'm like, I disagree with that. And he's like, nope. And it's interesting, because when we were having these discussions, I would hear channelers like Kryon, who, you know, really, they talk about the DNA, and Kryon labels the DNA in Hebrew words, and there's just a lot of energy, quote-unquote, around the Jews being the chosen ones, and there's a whole metaphysical story, so to speak. And my whole gig is, I don't believe that. I mean, because I can also go to Bruce Lipton says you can change your DNA by changing your thoughts and your environment and your beliefs. And, I mean, it just seems to me that the more I learn that this is just one big creation soup. You know, we're not stuck with anything, and that includes, you know, the laws of physics. I feel, you know, I do believe we're all going to die in our physical bodies, but if you die consciously, have you died? You know, like my belief is that, and my goal, I'm going to walk out of my body. When the time comes, I will be so sovereign and expanded in my conscious awareness that I'll walk out, or I guess kind of pull my energy back up into the Oversoul, or my soul, or Christ consciousness. I'm not there yet. I know, or I feel, and I've been told that when we go to bed every night and we dream,
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what happens when we die. The difference is we don't come back to the body in the morning. The cord is, and it's interesting, because when I spoke to a woman, when my mom was in a coma, I spoke to a woman who did automatic writing, and I had given my mother morphine, you know, in the last 5 days. Well, I didn't give it to her, but I told the nurses, you know, dose her up, because her body was shutting down and looking very distorted. It was really hard to look at her. And so I was like, listen, I don't want her to feel any pain. Just give her morphine, you know, up the butt. Well, not literally, but you know what I'm saying. And the automatic writer said, when she got my mother, and I was like, Ma, you know, did I do the right thing? I gave you morphine. Was that wrong? And my mother came back to me and said, no, I'm really not even in the body that much now anyways. She goes, I was like, well, where are you? And she goes, well, it's like a dream. And, you know, so between channelers and my mom, and I think the world that we dream every night is, you know, our when we die, that's where we wake up. And so, you know, again, we talk about integrity and everything and culture and conditioning. I think on some level, the hard part is when we are born. It's just when we're screaming like an infant, you know, we don't have the language to tell everybody, this is crazy limited. Like, this is not the real deal. It's like, boy, where I just came from, you know, there's beauty and I can shape shift into anything I want and dance and play and fly and create with colors and, you know, I can have a battle and a second later, you know, totally blend with the being. You know what I mean? It just seems so much more fluid. And the thing is, because of the nature of how we've set this planet up, it's like every place where we can possibly get communication is, you know, not in the form that, you know, that it says it can be in to have a communication. So we assume death is the bad stuff and birth is the good stuff in the sense of, you know, how we experience it. And, you know, I've been around enough babies to know that they're bringing some magic in. When you first come onto this planet, being a physical being, they're big. They're way expanded. I mean, when you're holding an infant, you can really sense that their field is like several feet big. Several. Mm. I mean, like, they fill rooms. You know, they just don't have the physical, they haven't mastered the physical body and stuff, but their presence ain't no joke. it's apparent. And so, you know, I just think that there's a, well, it's kind of like, you know, even what Art would say, there's so much changing going on and the awakening is happening. And I am delighted about everything. I'm just personally at the moment in a space where I don't, you know, I'm not, I feel ungrounded. I mean, and I don't know if the heart ever needs to ground the way the mind did. You know what I mean? I think I'm always looking from my mind certain facts and figures, so to speak, that I can kind of hold on to say, okay, you know, like I'm looking to be right, whatever that means. And I get the sense that the heart is not really could give a rat's ass about being right, to be quite honest. I think the heart is not only not looking, but the heart is just expressing love, however that shows up. Just, you know, so simple. I keep coming back to the simplicity of so simple that there's no complications. You don't have to go to college for 12 years. You know, I honor doctors, but boy, that's a whole lot of time to have to go to school. God knows. And that's, remember, that's after you've done, you know, 12 years from kindergarten to your senior year in high school. It's like, that's a lot of time to have your face put in a book, you know, reading that two-dimensional wisdom, you know, even though, see, I honored that you said you wanted the shamans around you, because shamans get their wisdom from living it. You know, they live in the jungle and they learn the wisdom of the trees and the plants and the seasons and the air and the water. You know what I'm saying? It's such a multi-dimensional experience. You know, I, for me, it's like until Western medicine at least acknowledges emotions even, let's at least acknowledge emotions as being part of the healing process, which many of them do, you know, because you can't be two-dimensional. You can't just heal the body without the acknowledgement that it's so much more. You know, I mean, it's got to be addressed. But again, you know, this is... That's a little. I do have a pet peeve about, you know, I'm Jewish people have a lot of doctors in the family, and you know, I do love my one cousin who's a doctor who has done so much healing work. Kudos to Dr. Joe Cohn. He, you know, growing up with him, it was interesting because it was all about the ego, and you know, and he's really he's done some work, and you know, he's a blessed being, and you know, he's now a healer. It's funny because I don't consider he still does patients and stuff, but now I see him as a healer. Because, you know, it's not just about prescribing pills and you know, that whole kind of thing. He cares about the human race, and he cares about the planet. You know, because I think a lot of people become doctors, you know, for the paychecks, which isn't that wonderful. You know, mm-hmm. That's a great thing. I want somebody taking care of me who's really just interested.
That doesn't want to be there.
Right. Because, you know, I don't know who said it, but it makes so much sense. Wouldn't it be amazing if doctors got paid to keep us healthy? You know, I just think we'd have such a different experience if that was, you know, the doctors would be different beings. You know what I mean? Different. They'd be motivated differently. Just by that one little shift, you know, and you know, it's coming. We're really at the tail end of a very long cycle of separation, and you know, we're the front runners. And you know, there are times where I'm super excited and totally stoked to be, you know, quote unquote, at the front of the line. You know, watching all this blessed conscious shifting. And you know, and there are days where I am just downright exhausted from it, you know, and I'm like, you know, let the world change. I'm going to chill in my bed, smoke a bowl, and call it a day. I'm not moving. You know, that's just where I'm at, you know. But, of course, you know, and then the next morning it can be a totally, you know, like, let's get back up and...
Yep.
Network and connect, and you know, it really is an ever-changing experience, ever-shifting, never the same thing twice, unpredictable, beautiful, magical. You know, I mean, tonight's show is, I'm stoked about tonight's show. I'm stoked for you being on, and I see you, 817. I love that you're here, babe. And, you know, Polar Bear and Art, you know, I mean, it just was like, I can honestly tell you right now, I definitely don't feel alone in my experience right now. And there's comfort in that. You know, it's like, no, just knowing that, you know, that you'd spontaneously come on like this, that, I can't even express it. You know, you can't put a value on that. How do you value that? I don't, you know, the heart doesn't know things in numbers or dollars and cents. The heart just knows things as, it's like all out. You know, it's like that fractal thing I was saying. The heart energy just becomes part, and I'm buzzing while I'm saying this. It becomes part of, like, everything. Everything improves when heart energy is a part, if not all, of the environment or situation or however you want to term it. Because I can feel it. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, so do you want to give out the name of the website for the Wellness Collaborative?
Sure. It's a health and wellness collaborative.wordpress.org. I don't even know the whole website.
Yeah, I'll tell you in 2 seconds. It is health and wellness collaborative.wordpress.com.
.com. Okay.
Yeah, Stephanie's building a tremendous energy, a tremendous presence.
And that's, we have people asking to come to the first meeting, and that's one of the things I'm saying. I have to tell them no, because I don't feel that it's that it's right that they come to the first meeting, because we have the core group that we've been planning this for a while.
Right.
So I felt like in my integrity I have to tell them no, they have to wait. And at first I was like, oh, I have to get them to come, so I can't make them wait till February 23rd. After February 23rd, but they're just going to have to, because
I think that's understanding the balance and the chemistry. You know what I'm saying? I think, I think another thing about the heart is, the key word is, it trusts. You trust when you're dealing with the heart.
Yeah.
Because there's no one answer ever. You can't always say yes and think you're in heart just because you're saying yes.
Yeah.
Because Almin basically has taught me that, you know, in an orchestra, everybody doesn't play their instruments all at once, because if they do, that's not music. The idea of music is understanding timing, when to be on and when to not be on.
Yeah.
That's the balance of the experience. Otherwise, it's just sound.
Listening, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and all you have to do, if you look at any art, it's never about just every single color on the board. In music, it's not about every sound. In cooking, it's not about every flavor being, you know, it's about mixing, matching, and creating. And so I totally honor, life honors that it's not just about, you know, because I think what I honor most about your choices is that you're not just looking to fill bodies up in a space. You know, you're really reading the energy and you know, building a foundation.
Yeah. In my life, I feel like I don't want to go, I want to build my life. So why not build it slowly and fully?
Right on, sister. Yeah, right. It's, you're not building a business. You're building a life.
Mm.
And the idea that you're taking your time, you know, because what's the rush? You know, there is no rush.
Yeah.
You know, and I get how, you know, time appears to be speeding up, and there are changes that are supporting the illusion of it speeding up, but the truth is, we're just coming back into a memory or a remembrance that we're eternal. So there is no rush. You know, I've always found, you know, anytime we start talking about time, you know, it's like, wow, I can remember when I first learned that, you know, Einstein proved that, you know, if you put two clocks in spaceships, and change the speed of the spaceship, it would affect time. I remember thinking to myself, how is that possible? You know, it's like, how do you affect time because you're in a spaceship? Because I didn't even realize that, you know, time is really just based on how many times the sun goes around the planet. You know, it's like, because when it's space, I can see space being affected by things. I can, like, Sahana, my 3-year-old, said to me today, she goes, I see birds, you know, there's birds, and I know they're warm. And I was like, absolutely, they're winter birds. They, you know, they don't migrate to warmer places. They stay here all year round. And she's like, yeah, but they're lost. And I'm like, what do you mean lost? And she goes, they're just having trouble reading the lines. I mean, it's my 3-year-old. And I'm like, oh, the magnetics are changing. I was like, absolutely. That's, I mean, I can't even tell you the wisdom. Because I actually asked Sahana today, I kept crying. And, you know, whenever I'm crying around her, I always share with her. It's like, you know, oh, Goli's going through some stuff. But she has this group of beings she talks to called the Lalas. And I said, can you ask the Lalas if I'm having an open heart experience? You know, is my heart chakra opening? And she said yes. And, you know, I totally trust what she says. You know, I mean, she has said some serious wisdom, and, you know, and it's like, so, you know, as soon as she said that, it was like there was a part of me that relaxed in that, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going through something physically as well as energetically, and the birds are going through it because, you know, there's a lot of stuff with the animals, you know. And channelers have been, you know, I'm very impressed. The information that I personally follow feels very clear, you know, that we are being guided, you know, by beings outside of our time and space, and they're helping us understand that, you know, it appears to be one way, but it really is another way. And, you know, when you put all these things together, you know, it really comes down to, as I forget who the channeler is that says this, but they're like, you know, if you want to enlighten yourself, or if you want to become enlightened, well, at the very least, lighten up. you know, in other words, we don't take it so seriously, which is one of the reasons why I come on the air, you know, kind of babbling like an idiot and not having, you know, my P's mm-hmm. and Q's and T's and I's crossed, because, you know, first of all, I mean, I love connecting. I love connecting, even though half the time I don't know who I'm connecting with. I'm just connecting. And you know, it's what Art said, too. I love sharing this, that, you know, if somebody else is feeling this way, that's okay, too. It's, you know, we don't have to follow any rules. There's no protocol to the ascension. You know, the only protocol I would say is, you know, if you're here, be here. You know, and if you're not here, well, then I don't have to, okay, that's not my area. Speak to the angel to the rear, in the rear. But, wow, we got 3 minutes left, Steph. I didn't even think I was going to go 2 hours tonight. I thought literally that I was going to, you know, kind of, you know, share my confusion and bow out gracefully. You know, just go. Because it's funny, at 9 o'clock, about 6 calls came on, and I know what they did is they saw the Osho readings. And I wasn't feeling that tonight. You know, I mean, I get it. And they quickly got, you know, as we were talking, we weren't doing readings. And then they leave. And, you know, that's cool. I mean, because it's part of the awakening is, hands down, they want it, you know, they're looking to know what's going on. And, you know, I mean, I'm happy to share and do my readings or whatever when I feel it.
Yeah,
but I'm happy tonight to talk to you.
Tonight, that was good, trust in yourself.
To what? To not do it?
Yeah, to not do it.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I was talking to Polar Bear before we even came on, because I was like, I don't know what to do. It's Third Thursday, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and that's when I went, well, you know, let's do something different, because the truth is I'm not here to fake this, you know. And I mean, there's value in being real. And that's one thing that I'm almost, like, determined. Did you hear that? I'm determined for people to know that authenticity has so much value, as opposed to, you know, well, you said you were going to do tarot card readings, so do tarot card readings, you know, even if you're, you know, whacked. Or worse, I could have just canceled the show, or I could have replayed, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I think there's tremendous value, especially after now, in hindsight, talking with you, talking with Polar Bear, talking with Art, everybody, you know, 817 being on the air, just energetically being present. There's value in this, you know what I mean? Even if I don't understand it, my heart tells me, you don't have to understand it. Just know there's value in this. That's
it's
pretty...
when we're around What?
No, go ahead. What are you going
to
say?
When we're around it and we speak of it, it pushes us to do, to stand in our authentic self more often. Because while you're speaking, I'm thinking, last week I had a massage client that I went to her house, and I was kind of whacked out that day, but I still was like, no, you have to go and just do the massage, you'll be fine. But I wasn't fine. But I kept going with the massage because I was supposed to go to her house and do the massage and
right.
da, da, da. So I was living the old paradigm of my old
obligation.
Paradigm.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the next day I got my period. Can I say that on my air here?
Of course you can say that.
So I was PMSing, and you're really not in a. You're very powerful when you're.
Yeah.
You're very powerful when your hormones are that way. And to do healing work, if you're not on, you're really going to not do a good job. So you're not
right,
doing.
Right.
So I probably caused more harm than good, which.
No,
whatever.
I don't think you can cause harm. But I think.
Which, whatever, because she needed that, I guess, whatever.
Okay, you get that, exactly. You can't harm
yeah.
another, that's an illusion, indeed. Okay.
But I feel like more of like I should be, or not should be, but I want to be. There's a desire for me to be in my authentic self, even if I'm driving to somebody's house and, you know what, it's just not, I'm just not on today. Could we reschedule?
There you go.
And,
indeed.
And just be in that space where I'm a mess right now. But I'm really
yeah.
a mess. And
yeah.
my brother and things are coming up from my history that I thought were gone. Like
yeah.
you're probably taking
yeah.
all of it. you're probably gonna have to deal with my brother's stuff now.
right. No, I hear you.
So yeah, so it's just a beauty of just I like how you come onto the show and you're your authentic self, and that's it, instead of what I tried to do with the healing session last week. So
right.
It's just motivating. Or
namaste. Thank you. Indeed.
Enlightening.
You know, I think inevitably once we're, if you know, when I listen to the Bashar work and their whole planet runs by synchronicity. I mean, the whole kit and caboodle is they're all telepathic, empathic, and nobody plans anything. It the entire state of consciousness is synchronistic. And I mean, personally, I think that would be phenomenal. You know, because I plan things, but planning for me always, some of the greatest things I've ever experienced in my life came spontaneously, and that's including moving to Buffalo. You know what I mean? Meaning it's not just like spontaneously going out to dinner or dropping by at a friend's house. I mean, I'm talking I have done significant changes in my life. I mean, from soup to nuts, from the time I decided to move to Buffalo and when I pulled into the driveway, 9 days. So I know what, I really do. I've lived my life spontaneously, and it's exquisite. It's exquisite because I think it's the language of the heart. This is what the heart knows that, you know, because it was interesting because when I came home 8 months later, you know, my father, quote unquote, was like, you failed. You know, you came home 8 months after you left, and I was like, you look at 8 months as a failure. I look at 8 months as the greatest teaching experience I've ever had, and now I'm home to integrate it. You know, it's so amazing how definitions will determine the experience, and when you don't have any definitions other than trust and joy, which is, you know, the qualities of living spontaneously and synchronistically, you know, then, I have never been to Esasani, where Bashar comes from, you know, to experience that, at least not consciously. But my imagination goes wild because I know like I said, some of the greatest joys. I mean, I've gone on dates where I talked to somebody on the phone the following morning. I got on a plane with them and went to Disney World. Now, truth be told, that was a terrible date. I had a terrible time. But I did it. You know what I mean? I have that on my resume. I love it that I, you know, because I'm spontaneous. You know, people can come to me and say, would you do this? And the answer is, yeah. Yeah, I would do that. You know, if it comes to me, it's living without fear and trust. You know, because having a bad date, okay, it was a bit of a pain in the ass on the 2.5-hour ride back on the plane because he wasn't talking to me, but I got through it. It was also incredibly exciting just going to Florida as a first date. You're like, wow, this is wild. So, you know, I mean, it has pros and cons, but for me, it's always worked out. You know, of course, you know, I'm sure there are other people that have done something spontaneous and, you know, changed their life forever and, you know, they would call and say, I beg to differ. That's just not my experience. I can only speak from my experience. So that's what it is. All right, love. Listen, we are past the 10 o'clock hour and got to be respectful of the Blog Talk Radio because God bless it, they're charging me now.
mm-hmm.
But I love you. And again, I'm going to give the Health and Wellness Collaborative.wordpress.com. I'll post this on my Facebook page. Definitely take a look at it, especially if you're in the Connecticut area. This is Fairfield County's networking group, and I'm really excited about that. Next week we have Dawn Leader and Jeffrey Hutcherson, who always give good shows, so I definitely recommend tuning in for that show. Thank you, everybody who called in. Thank you, Steph, for, well, listen, the great, spontaneously, you showed up, man. Outstanding.
Thank you, everyone.
Indeed. So I love you. Thank you. And I will talk to everybody tomorrow because I don't even think I'm going on Facebook after the show. I'm just going to go to bed. But I love you all. Thank you for bringing everything you bring to my life because, as we all know, life is amazing. And God bless. Onward, upward, inward, outward. I will talk to everybody next week. Bye. Thanks, Steph. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Bye now.